go with me to the toy stores, and we'll be stocking up. Jenna's going to kill me because our place doesn't have a lot of space, but my little one needs toys, and when her daddy gets home, he'll be moving her mum to a new house. I've been searching for a house online. I'd like one like Harrison and Caitlin's. It's big enough for us to expand as a family, and has a decent-sized garden. Liam's and Josie's garden is too big for me. I look around at the buildings that surround me, and think about how I wanted to live in the city. Not so much just me, but also Chelsea. When I bought the bungalow just a few blocks away from Sunset, I thought we'd be happy there. I was wrong, and standing here today, I can say thank God Chelsea did what she did and I caught her, because I wouldn't swap Jenna for anything. The high-pitched squealing catches my attention. Before I know, brown hair is flying by me at mock-high speed and launching herself into Harrison's arms. He catches her without missing a beat and spins her around. Her legs wrap around his waist, and to Liam and me, this is normal, and we expect it. But to the guy standing off to the side, with the telltale sign of being utterly pissed off, he was definitely not expecting this on his leisurely stroll down a New York City side street. This guy, he's interesting. I watch him because he makes it easy to do so. He's glaring at Harrison as he stands against the building with his foot pressed up against the facade. The only thing missing is a cigarette hanging from his mouth, and this bloke would be a James Dean wannabe. Sadly for him, he's not. He's middle-aged, with this week's style mop top, and dressed like a 20-something model out of GQ. Harrison puts Evie down, but doesn't let go of her. I turn back and watch her friend, with his eyes full of anger. He thinks he owns her. Funny. Last time I checked, no one owned Evie James, except maybe Quinn. Evie makes her rounds, Liam next, then me. I pick her up and give Mr. Angry the eye, as I give her a long, hard kiss on her cheek. He doesn't know who he's messing around with, but let me tell you something. She's mine, ours, and we protect what's ours.
"I'm so happy you guys are here! I've missed you!" Evie says, as she falls back into Harrison's arms.
He has his baby sister engulfed in his arms. Their bond is undeniable.
"Come meet Oliver. He's my producer."
"And shagging partner," I mutter loud enough so Liam can hear me. He raises an eyebrow when Evie glares at me. I shrug. I'm not sorry. The dude is a bloody dickhead and needs an attitude adjustment.
"Oliver, these are my brothers. That's Jimmy, Liam, and Harrison."
She points at each one of us, and while all three of us stand there, each with a different expression, I can tell Ollie here isn't a fan. "Nice to meet you, mate. I'd like to say that Evie has told us lots about you, but she hasn't." Oliver doesn't want to shake hands, so I don't offer mine. I can see through his veneer. He's a twat, and is probably shagging Evie to get ahead in the industry. Maybe he'll piss off Harrison and we can have a fight later. It's been a long time since I've enjoyed myself in a bar fight.
"I'm sorry, what did you say your name was?"
Harrison's words have a bit of bite to them, and I know he saw the way this fuck was looking at us with Evie. I'm trying not to laugh, but seeing him in overprotective mode is hilarious. That's one thing about Harrison James. You don't mess with his family or he makes you pay. And if he's making you pay, you can be damn sure that I'll be right behind him, and so will Liam.
"I'm sorry. Who are you?"
I take a step back and shake my head. This man is about to get his ass beaten. Harrison looks up sharply. This won't end well.
"Who are you?"
"As if it's any of your business. I'm Evie's boyfriend and producer." Yeah, things are going downhill fast. Harrison rubs his chin, and Liam rolls his shoulders.
"Hold up, guys," Evie says with her hands on her hips. "Oliver, don't be an ass to my brother. And Harrison, stop acting tough. He's not like you guys."
"Every man should have respect for his girl's family," Liam says. I agree. It's the most important value to have. I think 4225 West should do a celebrity wrestling match or something like that. I'll volunteer for the greater cause of humanity. Anything that allows me to release this pent-up aggression building inside me. I know where it's coming from. Chelsea. I was so grateful when Jenna asked me to change my number. I didn't hesitate. I did it because my wife asked me to, and she's the most important person to me. What I didn't count on was Chelsea bombarding my email with pleas. I can clearly picture her in my mind, the tears running down her face, begging me to call her. The thing is, I don't want to. I know that makes me the biggest shit in the world, but I'm not convinced the baby she's having is mine. I asked her for a paternity test at Harrison's insistence. He said he had one done with Quinn because he had to know. I have to know. I can't go to Jenna with this news without knowing for sure. She'll leave me, and I won't be able to handle that. When I told her that I loved her, I meant it without a doubt. I'll do whatever I can to make sure she knows that, but Chelsea is in the way and threatening my happiness, and I can't have that. Evie promises she'll meet us at the side door of the venue before the show so we can let her in. I hope she leaves the douche behind. I don't want her night with us ruined by this asshole. I love being on stage. For me, it's like an orgasm building and waiting to be released. When the lights go off and the first note is hit, the sensation takes over my body. Tonight is no different. I'm bouncing on the balls of my feet, anticipation crackling in the atmosphere. The chants are loud. They want Liam, and that has never bothered me. They can have him in all his glory, and he'll happily give it to them as long as he's on stage. I look at the three of us standing side by side, and think about how we've changed in the past 2 years. All of us are parents, even if my little one isn't here yet. I love her, and can't wait to hold her in my arms. Harrison's a family man, doing the baseball and cheerleading camps and soccer practices in his mum-mobile, and Liam, our founder, he's setting the bar so high that I'm afraid I'll never achieve what he has, but I want it. He's the example of what dreams are made of, how you can change your path, but still end up where you started. We go out on stage, Harrison to his drums, Liam to the microphone, with his guitar hanging on his hip, and me to the keyboard. I take out my harmonica from my pocket and get it ready. Tonight, we're starting with Tobacco Sunset, the song I wrote. Lyrics, for me, are a struggle. It can take me months to write a song, but lately I've been writing them once a week. But this one is special. I sing it to my little one every day, and I sang it to Jenna before I knew she was pregnant. Or maybe I did know. Maybe that's why I couldn't get her out of my head, or my system. Something was pulling me to her, and whatever it was, whether our daughter or just life, I'm fucking grateful. Liam steps up to the mic and the crowd roars. I smile, loving the vibrations they're sending our way. I play a few keys on the keyboard to get them going and make them cheer louder.
New York! How you doing?
Liam's play on words are his version of Joey from Friends. Jenna and I have been watching the repeats lately. She says we're Monica and Chandler, but I tell her there's no way I'm going to be known as Bing. I called her my lobster. My sweet-lipped lobster, who's made just for me.
4225 West is happy to be here tonight. And right now, we're going to start you off with a little something from J.D. He's been a busy man lately.
I look at the back of Liam and wonder what the fuck he's talking about. When Harrison hits his drums, ba-dum-tsh, I know something's up.
Our little J.D. went and got himself all married, and they're having a baby, and this song we're about to play was written for his wife,
Liam yells into the microphone. The crowd erupts as anger and dread wash over me. It's not that I didn't want people to know, but I didn't want Chelsea to know. I'm thousands of miles away, and will be for months, and there's no fucking way I can stop her from finding out. Even though I have doubts that her child is mine, she'll still go off the deep end if she's convinced herself that her baby is mine.
Chapter 26 Jenna. I press play and let the soft melody lull me to sleep. If it works for the baby, why can't it work for me? A harmonica plays. He's gone all out on this recording. Hello, little one, he says. I can't help but smile at his words. He's not taking any chances and is making sure the baby knows he's talking to her. I had to go away for a little while, but wanted you to have your song. Well, actually, it's your mom's song. I just haven't been able to tell her about it yet. I wrote this song right after your mom and I made you. It was such a perfect night, and I knew right at that moment that your mom had stolen my heart. You are just the added bonus. Happy tears streamed down my face. I reached for my phone, only to remember that he's on stage and will be calling me in a couple hours. I can wait until then. It'll be painful, but worth it. What I need to say to him needs to be done face to face. It can't be left on voicemail. Little one, I love you, Mom, and want you to be very nice to her while I'm away. When I get home, it will almost be time for you to make your entrance, and we can't wait to meet you. Jimmy starts singing. It's the song he sang when I was sick. He said, and I remember this clearly, that his mom used to sing it to him when he was sick. He lied. But I'll forgive him, this one time. After we set sail, there's gonna be storms. Just don't lose faith in me, 'cause I'll keep us on course. Remember this day. It's written in the stars. We're on our way to forever, girl. It's not that far. I've never felt like this before. I see a ship coming from the shore, and that horizon in your eyes is like tobacco sunburst. Is this gonna last? I wanna know. I gave you the key to my heart, and it was hard to let it go. I'm stingy. I can admit that. Well, I should have had the phones on my stomach so she can hear her daddy sing to her. I'm listening to them instead. I've had the song on repeat for the last few hours. When he left, he told me he loved me. I didn't say it back. Not because I don't love him, I do. But I thought it was a knee-jerk reaction to the emotional moment we were having. This song tells me otherwise. For a while, I've questioned why I married Jimmy. It wasn't impulsive, even though it seemed like it at the time. It definitely wasn't his charm. That's what got us into this situation to begin with. I married Jimmy because I wanted to. I wanted a new chapter in my life, one that isn't filled with fear and constantly looking over my shoulder. I never thought I'd find someone to fill that void in my life, but I have. I know getting married because you're pregnant isn't the smartest thing to do, and we may not last, but for now, I'm going to love him as long as he'll allow me to. My phone rings from its resting spot, on top of my ever-growing stomach. I hit answer and sigh. Hello, I say dreamily. Hey, sweet lips, how are my girls? He's turned on the charm and he's not even here. Damn that man. We're good. Just waiting for you to call. How was the show?
It was great. We had a good crowd. They were really getting into it. I need to tell you something, though.
I can't imagine what he's about to say. Did he go crazy and jump off the stage only to fall onto the floor because his fans didn't catch him?
What?
I choke out. Jimmy sighs. I imagine him running his hand over his perfect face, his fingers rubbing his soulful brown eyes.
Liam. I'm sorry, Jenna. Liam told everyone that I'm married and having a baby.
What? I cry out in relief. My heart pounds, and I swear if I open my mouth wide enough, I'll be able to expel it onto the floor. That's what you have to tell me?
Yeah. Why? What did you think I was going to say?
Not that, I say, almost too excitedly.
Oh, shit, Jenna. You thought I was going to tell you I fucked up, right? Seriously? After the vows we said to each other?
Jimmy, I try to interrupt.
We took those vows and I meant every fucking word of them.
Jimmy?
What?
I'm sorry, I say, laughing. Jimmy, I'm sorry. I love you and I just thought you were going to tell me that you crowd surfed, but only that the crowd didn't catch you.
You love me?
His voice is tender, questioning. I smile and nod. Not realizing he can't see me. I should have told you before you left. I'm an idiot.
Well, I won't argue with you, but you're my idiot and you're fucking sexy and beautiful, and I miss the crap out of you already.
I start to laugh. My husband, the poet. You have a way with words, Jimmy. Speaking of, I listened to the song.
Hey, that's for the little one. If you wanted a song, you should have asked for one. Don't deprive my child of me while I'm gone, you evil wench.
Jimmy's laughing so hard he snorts,
causing me to snort as well. We make a great pair. Little one?
Yeah, he says softly. You're my sweet lips, and that's my little one. I can't wait to meet our daughter, Jenna. I can't wait to hold your hand and help bring her into the world.
Me too. I love her nickname.
Good, because I'm going to use it a lot.
I love that the names he's given us are unique and not common. I can see him saying little one at the park, and our little girl comes running because she'll know it's her daddy calling her.
Thank you, I say when he's calmed down. Thank you for loving me and our baby. You make me feel whole, Jenna. I love you.
I love you, too. We talk until I'm yawning. He sings me to sleep, making me wish we had these moments inside the apartment and not on the phone. Jimmy being gone right now is the most unbearable thing I've had to deal with in a long time. Saturdays are busy at the shop. Josie has tried to make me take a leave of absence, but I told her she'd need to fire me if she didn't want me around anymore. When I said that, she got tears in her eyes and shook her head. I've been with her for a long time now. I can't imagine not working with her. I like to think of myself as one of the catalysts that got her and Liam back together. If I hadn't shown her the flyer and encouraged her to go to Los Angeles, who knows what would have happened. I can tell you this, there wouldn't be a Harrison and Caitlin, no Jenna and Jimmy, and that is far too depressing to think about. I'm a cliche, I've realized. I married into a rock band. First Josie, then Caitlin. Even though she's not married, she's his wife. And now me. The writing was on the wall, if you think about it. It was only a matter of time. Caitlin and Aubrey are working today as well. Josie mans the flower shop while Caitlin is in the coffee shop. Aubrey and I move back and forth between the two, depending on which side is busier. The older patrons, the returning customers, have learned that they can get lunch and order their flowers all in one sitting. It's an oddity, really, but it works. In the corner, we have a young kid playing his guitar. Liam booked gigs before he left. He didn't want Josie to have to worry about it, and didn't want the newly established music scene to think she wasn't catering to everyone. This one is good. A little sweet on the eyes. He'll go far, I'm sure. I walk to my next table with my order pad ready. Hello? What can I get for you? The customer is hidden behind a newspaper, covering his or her features. I can't really lean up on my tiptoes because that would be considered rude, so I wait. The newspaper ruffles and the customer, a man, speaks in a low, hoarse voice.
Coffee. Black.
Typical businessman. Can I get you anything else?
No,
he says, barely looking over his paper. His hat is covering most of his features, so I can't see what he looks like.
Fucking fat,
he mutters. I bite the inside of my cheek to keep the slurs from escaping. Sexist pig. Jenna? I look over at Caitlin. Jimmy's on the phone. Says it's urgent. I roll my eyes. He knows I'm working. I can't imagine what would be so urgent. I'm sorry. I'll be right back after I find out what my husband wants, I say in a snotty tone. That's right, asshole. I'm married. I pick up the phone and say hello. He laughs.
Hi, sweet lips. I missed your voice, so I wanted to say hi.
I'm working, Jimmy. I just left a customer at a table, although he called me fat.
Fuck that. You're fucking sexy, and I miss you.
I miss you, too. Skype tonight?
I don't know, wifey. Will you take off your shirt for me so I can see your tits?
Incorrigible, I say, knowing I'll do whatever he asks of me.
You love me?
You know I do, and so does your little one.
I miss you. I'll call you later.
He hangs up before I can say goodbye. I don't know what that call was about, but it's enough to put a smile on my face. I walk back to my table with the asshole's coffee, hoping he's ready to order. Today might be the day that I actually spit in someone's food. Sorry about that.
I'm sure you are.
I roll my eyes and set down his coffee. I'm not going to take his shit. I don't have to. If he's not careful, I'll have one of the kids come wait on him just so I can see them piss him off. If you need anything, let me know.
Excuse me, miss.
I'm not two steps away before he calls me back. I turn and freeze.
The paper is down, and this man is not just any customer, but Damien. I look around to see if anyone is watching. Of course, no one is in sight. My pulse races with fear. He knows I'm pregnant. This is something he's wanted.
You're fat, Jenna. You know that's unacceptable.
You need to leave, Damien. There's a warrant for your arrest. If anyone sees you, they'll call the cops. I lie easily. He scoffs.
I'm not afraid of your podunk friend.
He points to my belly.
When did you turn into a whore?
I'm married. I stop talking. I don't need to tell him anything.
I'm coming for you. Don't forget.
Before I can say anything, he's up and out the door, his paper left behind. I step forward and look. It's a picture of Jimmy and I that was taken on the street before we got married. There are slash marks and the word dead is written all over it. I reach to pick it up, but it's taken from my hand quickly.
Sorry, I forgot my paper,
Damien says, as he walks out the door again.
Chapter 27 Jimmy I've come home a day early to surprise Chelsea. It's our 3-year anniversary. She thinks I'm going to be on tour until the end of the week, but that was a little white lie I told her. It's all part of my master plan. We're leaving tonight for a holiday in Jamaica. I've been planning this for months now. I want our anniversary to be special. Liam drops me off outside our house. I get out and stare at the brick building. I love this place. The lights are on, so I know that she's still awake. When I spoke to her earlier today, she said she was staying home because the thought of going out without me was pure agony. She likes to exaggerate every now and again. She's never had a problem going out on her own before, but I get it, especially today. We want to be together. I unlock the door and put my bags down in the hall. The house is quiet. I'm hoping she's not asleep, although if she is, I can't understand why she's left the lights on. As I walk down the hall, the sound of skin slapping and moaning seeps from our bedroom. I rub my hands together. My bird is watching porn and is probably getting really turned on by it. She's missed me. I love this side of her. She likes to get kinky, and I'm a very obliging partner. My early arrival is bound to break the record for best. Surprise! I'm back! Did you miss me? Ever. I turn the handle and open the door a little. The sounds seem very lifelike and a lot louder. She has the TV switched on with the volume turned up on full blast, but I can still hear her moans. I know the sounds she makes and can tell she's nearly coming. I bend over and unlace my boots, slipping them off my feet. My belt buckle is undone, the buttons pulled away from my jeans. My hand rubs my cock. It's hardening the closer I get. Everything moves in slow motion as I walk around the corner. My fiancée is on her knees, being fucked from behind. My eyes travel from his nakedness over her body to her face. I can't see her, though, because the face that I love so much is buried in another bastard's crotch.
"What the fucking hell?" I shout loudly.
The three of them stop suddenly and look at me. Chelsea's eyes widen in horror as she realizes she's been caught with her pants down, literally. I do up my jeans and stare at the three of them. My eyes begin to fully assess the scene, taking it in bit by bit. She's fucking cheating on me, and in my fucking house, no less.
"Jimmy,"
she says, and her voice is laced with both exhaustion and nerves.
"Don't say a fucking word. You don't need to explain."
I turn and walk out, picking up my boots as I go. I don't stop to put them on before grabbing my suitcase and leaving. I fish my keys out of my bag and head to my car.
"Jimmy!"
she screams. I look up to find her outside in a T-shirt, one that is barely covering her backside. Her two friends follow out behind her and leave without saying anything. I open the door and throw my bag in. I don't know where I'll go, probably to my dad's or even a hotel. I can't go to Liam's place, and Harrison lives too far away.
"Jimmy, wait!"
I don't acknowledge her, and she doesn't take that as a sign. She runs over to me and grabs my arm. I shake her off.
"I can explain."
I close my eyes. Those are the words I don't want to hear.
Really? You can explain why I just walked into my house and found my fiancé being fucked by not one, but two men? What happened, Chelsea? Did they just happen to fall into your mouth and cunt?
Jimmy, she whines.
When I look at her again, she's not Chelsea. Her blonde hair has been changed to red. Her brown eyes are now green. Blood drips down her face like tears. She opens her mouth to speak, but nothing comes out. I look at this strange woman, and my worst fears come to life. I awake suddenly. My shirt is soaked with sweat. I look around, taking in my surroundings. The walls feel like they're closing in. I reach for Jenna, feeling for her body so I can hold her, and realize that I'm on the bus and I'm still on tour. I sit up and swing my legs over the side, hoping to regulate my breathing. It was a nightmare. Why I was dreaming about Chelsea, I don't know, but seeing Jenna at the end, that fucking scared the shit out of me. I know she'd never cheat on me, but this dream means something. I look at the clock and calculate the time difference. It's 3 a.m. in Beaumont, but I don't care. I need to hear her voice. I need to know that her and little one are okay. I dial her number and wait. It rings 5, 6, and 7 times before she finally picks up. Hello? She says groggily. I know I've woken her, but I need this for my sanity. Hi, wifey. I close my eyes and wait.
What's wrong, Jimmy?
Nothing. I had a dream, and I needed to hear your voice and make sure that you and the bub are okay.
We're fine, but now you have me worried. Are you okay?
I lie back in bed and cover my eyes with my arm. I am now that I've heard your voice. I miss you, Jenna. I didn't think this tour would be so hard, but it is. I don't know how Liam and Harrison are handling it, but I'm falling apart.
Do you want me to come see you?
The thought of having Jenna here with me, even if it's for a weekend, is enticing. She didn't come on tour with us last summer, and part of me is grateful about that. I wouldn't have been able to control myself around her, but I also wouldn't want to embarrass her in front of Josie.
I'd love that. I want you here, even if it's for a few days. Okay, Jimmy.
I tell her where we're going to be and help her book her ticket online. This time tomorrow she'll be in my arms and won't have to leave unless I'm on stage. When we hang up, I dial the number of the other woman who has been on my mind.
Morning, Mum.
Jimmy? How lovely to hear your voice. How are you?
Hearing the excitement in my mum's voice makes me happy. Since I was 8 and realized how poorly my dad treated her, how uninterested he was in having a family, she's not only been my mum, but my best friend.
I'm okay.
Are you sure? You don't sound okay. What's wrong?
This is exactly why I called her. She knows when something is bothering me. Blame it on motherly instinct or just being an amazing person. Either way, my mum can fix anything. I miss Jenna, and I miss touching her belly every day.
It's amazing, isn't it?
What is?
Watching your wife grow and look after your child inside of her.
I look at the photo of Jenna that I have stuck to the wall. This room is so small, and I've had to forfeit the bedside table to display photos on. This picture was taken of us on the beach in Bora Bora. My hand rests on her belly. Her hand is cupping my cheek. We didn't pose for this. A passerby caught us in a moment with their camera and asked if they could send us the image. I'm grateful that they did, because it's a reminder of why I'm turning my life around.
It's not just that, Mum. I sing to little one, and she calms down.
She kicks Jenna terribly in the morning, and my singing was helping that. I feel like I'm failing them both by not being there.
Little one?
I can't help but smile. I've always used nicknames, but they're never normally special or meaningful. Not until I met Jenna, that is. She brings out the best in me. That's what I call her, the baby. I think she likes it.
I'm sure she does. You're her daddy.
My mum sighs.
I can't believe you're going to be a father, Jimmy.
I know, Mum, but this is a good thing. I love Jenna.
She makes me a better person, and I really can't see myself without her, even if we weren't having a baby. I was always trying to find ways to talk to her and be around her.
And what about how you felt about Chelsea?
I close my eyes, and my nightmare flashes before me. It's not so much that I'm reliving that day, but more the ending, seeing Jenna with blood on her face, that freaks me out. I know her ex is out there, lurking. I can feel it, but I'm afraid to say anything to her. I don't want to put the fear of God in her if he's not around. But my instincts are telling me he's not done yet. He'll be back. Chelsea was a distraction. I never saw myself having kids, more like living this rock star lifestyle. I saw her more like a trophy wife. I knew that she'd be the wife that spends all day at the spa getting pampered and making sure she looked perfect.
Are you saying Jenna's not like that?
I rub my hand over my face and through my hair. It's due for a cut so I can make my mohawk stand up again. Or maybe I'll surprise her and get it done before I see her. Maybe I can talk Jenna into cutting my hair when she's here. I knew my comments about Chelsea would be taken out of context, but I also know my mum won't repeat what I've told her. It's not like that, Mum. When I look at Jenna, I see a future with her. I see home and warmth. Jenna's nothing like Chelsea. She doesn't care about the fame and fortune. She just wants to be loved, and I want to love her until she tells me that I'm not worthy of her.
Oh, Jimmy, I don't think she'll do that.
I hope not, I want to say. I really miss her. I rang her before I rang you and woke her up. I need to see her so she's going to fly out and come and see me tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to last 3 more months without being with her and holding her. God, Mum, I need to touch her tummy and talk to little one so she knows I haven't abandoned her. My voice breaks. I bite my lip to keep my emotions in check.
Jimmy, you're not your father. I brought you up to be better than him.
I know.
Just love her, and I'm sure she'll love you back. I know that I can't wait to meet her and hold my granddaughter.
Little one is going to be beautiful. I'm hoping she has red hair like Jenna.
She'll be beautiful. You're going to have a beautiful family, and you should be proud of that.
I am. As soon as I hang up, I start counting the minutes until Jenna's here. I don't know if it's safe for pregnant women to fly, but I think she'd tell me if it wasn't. If she can't come here, I'll just fly to her. Not seeing her isn't going to work for me.
Chapter 28 Jenna. I feel like I'm being watched, or followed, which is the stupidest thing ever since I'm walking in a crowded airport with hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. But I can't help but feel eyes boring into the back of my head. If I stop and look around, eyes follow me, no doubt wondering what would possess the pregnant woman to suddenly stop in the middle of the walkway and look behind her repeatedly. Everyone rushes by, shoulders bumping into mine as they pass. A few people grunt and even give me a dirty look, but I know someone is there, here, watching me. My body can feel eyes roaming all over it, and it makes the hair on the back of my neck stand on end. I turn back and walk toward the exit. Jimmy will be waiting. I just need to get there. My pace quickens, short of a full-on jog. Anxiety increases. My skin, it itches as if a spider is crawling on it. As soon as I see the doors, I'm running. I look back in time to see someone, a man, turn quickly. He's wearing a dark hat that covers his face and a nondescript trench coat. I turn back to the door and step out. Freedom. Peace. Jimmy is standing against a black car with dark-tinted windows, much like you see on television. I'm freaking Cinderella right now, and my prince is staring at me. Gawking, really. His legs are crossed at his ankles, his left hand in his pocket. In his right, he holds a sign. Sweet Lips is written in big red letters. I stand back and take in everything about him. I appraise him, memorize him. My teeth find my lower lip as he shakes his head and smiles. He knows I'm checking him out. His hair stands on his head, the sides shaved. His mohawk is back, thank God. He laughs and looks down at the ground before looking back at me with those eyes. The eyes that say, "You know you want me." And he's right. I do. Being pregnant has its perks sexually. I want him. All the time. He's making me insatiable. He's teaching me to enjoy what he can do to my body. My mind tells my body to move forward, even though my eyes want me to stand here and watch him. His hand comes out of his pocket, and he dangles a necklace from his fingers. It sways back and forth until I hold my hand to stop it. A diamond locket rests in my hand. He slides it away from me, only to reach around my neck and clasp it. His hands linger at the back of my neck, his fingers pushing into my hair. I knew I loved this man, but this hammers at home. "I've missed you, wifey," he says as his lips graze mine. It's not enough, but we're in public and he has an image to keep up. "I've missed you, too." Jimmy places his lips to mine, but pulls away too quickly. "Hey," he chuckles, placing his hand on our daughter. "Let's go." He pulls my hand into his and opens the car door, allowing me to slide in before him. Once he's in and the car is in traffic, his hands are all over me. "I fucking need you," he says as his teeth nip into my skin. I never thought about how much alone time we'd get while I'm here. The guys travel by bus, and since none of the families are with them, they haven't been staying in hotels this time around. Jimmy rests his head on my shoulder. I snuggle into him, afraid to let go. I close my eyes and lean into him. He can make all my demons go away. I haven't seen or heard from Damien since that day in Whimsicality. Is it too much to hope that something has happened to him, and I'll never see him again? When did you cut your hair?
Yesterday, after I finished talking to you and then my mom. I remembered that you mentioned it in Bora Bora, and I thought, what can I do to drive my missus crazy? I'm hoping this is it.
I love it, and I love you, Jimmy.
I love you, Jenna, and I love our daughter. I want to give you the world. I know we got married quickly, but I feel like I've known you my entire life. And the way you were so obviously checking me out back there, I can't wait to get you onto the bus and have my wicked way with you.
I roll my eyes, shaking my head at him. You're so rotten.
But you love me.
That I do.
Stand right here. You'll be able to see Harrison and Liam, but I'm on the other side, so you'll only be able to stare at my arse.
Jimmy, I say, hitting his shoulder.
What?
He leans in.
Do you remember digging your nails into it earlier today, telling me to take you harder and faster?
No, I don't need that reminder. The reenactment is playing like a dirty porn clip over and over again. Reuniting with him was everything I wanted it to be and more. Yes, I remember.
We remember too, Romeo,
Liam says as he passes by. I stifle a laugh as Jimmy turns red. I never thought I'd see the day where Jimmy Davis blushes from embarrassment, but now I have. My worst fear came true when we got to the bus. Harrison, Liam, and Tyler were all there. They all snickered when Jimmy pulled me down the aisle and into his room. When we came out, Liam mimicked Jimmy, complete with a British accent.
"Fuck off, mate," Jimmy says as he pulls me closer.
"Time to go on,"
Harrison says, stopping next to me. He leans down and kisses me on the cheek.
"It's really too bad you couldn't bring Caitlin. Maybe you ladies need to alternate weeks so we can get some service up in this piece."
"I'll tell her when I get back." Harrison winks and walks away. I lean into Jimmy and kiss him. "Good luck and have fun."
"I will, now that I know you're waiting for me."
He kisses me before taking the stage. Jimmy stands next to his keyboard. On one side is his guitar. He hasn't said much about his father, but I know who he is. Everyone does. I'm assuming he's learned to play these instruments from his dad, although I can't be sure. Some people are musically inclined. They're gifted. The music starts and the crowd erupts. You'd think they've all just woken from a winter slumber with how quiet they were, but now the noise level is deafening. I look over at the guys and take in their presence. This is my first time seeing them on stage like this. It's magical. No wonder we've all fallen for rock stars. They command the stage. Even Jimmy, who is simply playing the piano. He owns it. It's part of him. My eyes wander to Harrison. I've listened to Caitlin describe what it's like to watch Harrison, but to actually see it, to feel the drumbeat rise from the floor and wash over your body is indescribable. Liam walks over to me and plays his guitar for me. The crowd somehow becomes louder. He winks and walks back to the microphone to sing. I start to sway, moving to the music while watching Jimmy. He switches from the piano to the guitar to the harmonica. When the familiar sounds of Little One's song starts, my hand immediately goes to her. She pushes against me. I push back, letting her know that, yes, it's her daddy, and he's about to play it for her. Hearing Liam sing the song that Jimmy sings for our daughter is different, but I like it. His voice is perfect, and it's clear why he's the singer. I still prefer Jimmy's voice, but hearing Liam takes it to a whole new level. I look out into the crowd. There are mostly women and a few men, no doubt brought by their significant others. That seems a bit awkward, these women yelling everything they can to get the guy's attention, and their men just standing by aimlessly. Unless, of course, they like 4225 West, then it's not strange at all. As I scan the first few rows, smiling as I do, my gaze lands on him, the man from the airport. He hasn't bothered to change. He's still wearing the same hat and trench coat. I close my eyes and shake out the cobwebs. I'm just tired. I'm seeing things. But when I open them, he's still there, staring at the stage. I try to follow his line of vision, but I can't. He's either focused on Liam or Jimmy. It's Jimmy who he's staring at. Why? Why was this man following me in the airport and now boring down on my husband? Damien! I try to inch closer, but the bodyguard stops me. I'm not to come out on stage. I'm to stay behind the curtain for my own safety. But I need to see. I need to know. Is Damien here? How did he find me in the airport, and how the hell did he make it to the front of the stage without being noticed? The anxiety I had earlier is now back in droves. My palms itch, and my skin feels like there's a thousand needles trying to get in or out. It doesn't matter. It's driving me nuts.
Are you okay, Mrs. Davis?
The bodyguard asks. I look down and see my nails digging into my arms. Damien's here. He's wearing a trench coat to a rock concert. Who does that? He does, because he's here to cause harm. Instantly, the image of the defaced newspaper article that I saw him with that time in Whimsicality comes back to me. I look around, frantically. I step toward the stage, only to be stopped by a large arm.
Mrs. Davis, what's wrong?
I point to Damien, who is now closer to the stage. The bodyguard shakes his head. He doesn't understand. He's my ex, I say, barely audible. He leans down so I repeat myself. He turns and looks to where I'm pointing. His body goes rigid. He moves in front, trying to shield me, but I move. I need to see. The bodyguard says something into his hand. Men move toward Damien. Gun! I say as I tug on his shirt. Gun! I yell louder. Damien raises the gun and points it at Jimmy, who doesn't have a clue what's going on. Neither do Liam and Harrison. They're playing, as they should be. I get past the bodyguard and run onto the stage. The crowd yells louder. Liam stops me, placing his arm around me. I beat on his arm. I kick and scream in his ear. Gun! Liam! He looks at me with utter confusion. Jimmy drops to the ground. My ears feel like they've been filled with cotton, and there's a panicked scream bursting out of my chest. My feet are heavy, but I need to run to him. I need to be there with him, with my husband. Liam turns in slow motion, dropping his guitar to his side, the dissonance ringing out over the sound system. Strong arms pick me up from behind and carry me away from my husband. The roar of the crowd is deafening, but the only sound I can focus on is the rush of blood through veins in my temples. I scream out for Jimmy as Liam and Harrison rush to his side. Lights come on, and people start screaming. The crowd's so loud no one can hear me. "Put me down!" I yell, kicking whoever is carrying me.
I'm set on my feet, and the moment I'm touching the ground, I'm running back to Jimmy, my heart pounding against my ribcage.
Jimmy!
I scream, but Harrison is there to stop me.
Let me go, Harrison!
He wraps his arms around me, holding me tight to his chest. He leans down.
Calm down, sweetheart. Think about the baby. Let the paramedics work on JD.
He's been shot.
I don't remember crying, but there are hot streaks running down my cheeks and pooling into his t-shirt.
I know,
he says, running his hand up and down my back. The gesture that's meant to be soothing only serves to agitate me more. He's holding me back.
He needs me.
Right now, he needs them more, Jenna.
He pulls back and cups my tear-laden face.
He needs them, okay? They need to help him.
Harrison's eyes, the ones that are always calm as still water, are frantic and dark. I press my hand to my chest as something inside me breaks.
Is he going to be okay?
I'm unraveling, like twine from a spool, falling away from myself into disjointed pieces, tangled and messy. Harrison looks over his shoulder and back at me.
I don't know.
I fall into his arms, clutching at his shirt as sob after sob rolls through my body. My ex has done the unthinkable, and there isn't anything I can do to help. Harrison pulls me off stage when the paramedics pass by with Jimmy.
Chapter 29. Jimmy. I love having my missus here. It's like I have a new energy flowing through me. Being on stage has always been a high for me, but now, knowing she's just off the stage watching me perform takes it to a whole new level. The only thing I'd change is our stage setup. I want to be near her so I can watch her all night and not the crowd. These women out there, the ones who are wearing shirts that are two sizes too small, the ones who used to do it for me and float my boat, they don't even compare to Jenna. I glance at Jenna as often as I can. Liam is doing a bloody excellent job at keeping her entertained, but if I'm honest, I wish it was me being the front man today. I need it to be me. Maybe tonight I'll give Jenna her own personal show. I can play her body like a piano and make it sing. That's if I can get her to undress for me again. I got a little carried away when we got back to the tour bus, but I couldn't help myself. My dick has a mind of its own when it comes to her, and he wanted to be buried deep inside of her. He didn't care that my bandmates were sitting a few feet outside the room. He wanted her, and I'm not one to deny him and his needs. I'm a no one without Jenna. I should tell her this, but finding the right words to do so is pretty much impossible. Admitting my feelings to her, albeit suddenly, has been such a relief. It's like we've been together for years now, and not just months. With her at my side, I know I'm going to be a better person, lover, and musician. She makes me feel like I can conquer anything I put my mind to. Taking out my harmonica, I start the beginning of Tobacco Sunburst and take a sneak peek over my shoulder. Jenna's hand is on her tummy, her fingers dancing along. I wink, but know she can't see me. I wasn't planning on telling her that the song I sang to her when she told everyone she wasn't feeling very well was one that she inspired. I should have known she'd listen to it as soon as I went out of town. I've been so quiet when singing to Little One because I didn't want her mum to hear. She's sneaky, that one. Liam belts out the lyrics as Harrison adds the beat. I look out to the crowd quickly before bringing my harmonica back to my mouth. I think the only thing that can make me happier right now is to hold Little One in my arms. I'm not going to be afraid to hold her like some men are. I'm excited. I can't wait to have her snuggled into my neck while I rock her to sleep. I'm going to be a hands-on dad. I'll do everything Jenna needs me to do, even the disgusting stuff that involves nappies and shit. Pain suddenly rips through my chest, hot, searing, and torturous. I try to move my hand to touch the throbbing, but I can't. It's immobile, dangling uselessly at my side. I look down at my shirt and see a wet red spot forming. I hear screaming behind me. Jenna! It's her voice! My head rests on the stage. How did I get here? My eyes look at the man standing in front of me.
I know him from somewhere. I try to reach out to him, but he turns, leaving me.
Holy fuck! J.D.!
Liam says, hovering over me. The stage lights behind him make it look as though he's glowing, and there are black spots dancing in front of my eyes. I don't like this new lighting effect.
Somebody, get the motherfucking paramedics here! Harrison yells.
Paramedics? Is Jenna okay? I look for her, my eyes searching the stage. But I can't see her.
Hold on, man.
I don't know what the fuck he means. Hold on. Everything starts turning black. Someone is closing the curtains, but the show's not over. My song. I didn't finish it. The screaming dulls into a hushed roar. Thank God, because it was fucking hurting my head. I think I need a coffee or something. I'm so tired. I look at Liam and smile. He's my best friend. My brother.
Don't you fucking leave me, J.D. You fight. You have a wife and daughter on the way. Do you hear me, man? You fucking fight to stay with us.
Where am I going?
Chapter 30. Jenna. Harrison rushes us from the venue and into the waiting car. I don't know how the driver knows, but he does. Once the door is shut, we're speeding behind the ambulance, the very one that is transporting my husband. Harrison holds me against him. His leg bounces up and down. The edge of his phone is pressed against his lips. Is he waiting for a call? Call. I need to call Jimmy's mom. But what do I say? I don't even have her number. I sit up in a panic. My breathing becomes erratic.
Whoa. What's wrong? You need to calm down, Jenna.
His mom. She's in... I shake my head, realizing that I don't know where his mom is. I don't know anything about his family.
She lives in London. I'll call her for you.
And just like that, Harrison comes to my rescue. I feel like such a moron for not knowing. As his wife, I should know these things. Like his blood type, I don't know that. What if he needs a transfusion? Before I know it, Harrison is opening the door and tugging at my hand. He pulls me through the glass doors into the nurse's station. Hi, excuse me. The ambulance just brought in my husband.
Have a seat,
the nurse says without looking up. Harrison puts his arm around me and tries to direct me to a chair, but I hold on to the counter.
Jenna, give them a few minutes. Let's find Liam.
Harrison's demeanor is calm, where I'm freaking out on the inside. I'm about to scream and pull at my hair. My ex-husband has shot. He freaking shot my husband. I don't know where Damien is now, but he's out there and probably waiting to finish the job, if he hasn't already succeeded. I knew I should have left the minute Damien first showed up at the cafe. I've put everyone in danger, and now Jimmy is somewhere in this hospital. I don't know if he's dead or alive. Why can't the nurse just tell me what they're doing? They must know, right? We walk down random halls. I see paramedics and wonder if they're the ones that brought in Jimmy. They look at me as I pass, their eyes full of sorrow. I can't imagine what they see on a daily basis. Excuse me, I say, stopping Harrison from walking any farther. Did you bring my husband in? Who's your husband? The lady asks, looking at her clipboard.
Jimmy Davis,
Harrison answers before I can.
He was shot while on stage tonight. Our friend came with him.
The lady looks over her clipboard and shakes her head. My heart drops a bit further into the pit of my stomach.
Try down the hall that way, she points ahead of us. That's the critical wing, and if he was shot, he's likely there.
Harrison doesn't wait for more instructions before he's pulling me behind him. We turn the corner, and I gasp, my hand flying up to cover my mouth when I see Liam leaning against the wall. He's covered in blood. Jimmy's blood.
Liam,
Harrison says. He looks up, and that patented smile he has for his friends is gone. It's replaced with so much pain, more than when Josie was dismissing him when he first came back to town. Tears rush to my eyes as I take in the sight before me. Liam looks broken.
Liam?
My voice breaks. He doesn't acknowledge my silent question, but pulls me into a hug. He holds me tight,
his tears dampening my neck. I don't want to take his tears as a sign, but I can't help but think my husband is gone. I pull away and cover my eyes, wiping away the tears. Did he? Is he? I choke on my words as strong arms keep me from falling to the ground. I can't keep the tears at bay any longer. Jimmy and I were just starting to build a life together, and now it's gone.
He's in surgery, Jenna. I don't know anything else until they come and find us.
I look up quickly. Surgery? That's good, right? Liam shrugs.
I don't know, but he lost a lot of blood and wasn't conscious.
Oh, God, I cry.
Come on, let's go sit down.
Harrison has to drag me away. I don't know if Jimmy is behind that door or if Liam just stopped there, but I don't want to leave. What if Jimmy needs me? I don't want to be too far away from him. The guys lead me to a waiting room. It's much smaller and quieter than the one we were directed to when we first came in. I sit down and melt into the couch. Deep down, I know it's not comfortable, but I have a feeling my body knows we're going to be here for a long time. I won't leave Jimmy's side.
I'm going to go make some phone calls, Harrison says,
placing a kiss on my forehead.
I'll bring back some coffee.
I watch him walk away. He gets about halfway from us and falls against the wall. You can see the sobs take over his body. It slips my mind sometimes that Jimmy has another family away from little one and me. I'm sorry, Liam. He looks up at me, his eyes glazed with tears.
What on earth are you sorry for?
I take a deep breath. For bringing Damien into your lives? I should have left when he showed up. I knew he was dangerous, and now Jimmy's in surgery, and I don't even know if he's going to make it, and it's all because of me. My voice cracks at the end, my body splintering, shattering. I don't know how to keep it all in. Liam pulls me into his arms, rubbing my shoulder.
People are sick, Jenna. You can't predict what they're going to do. This could have easily been me if Sam was around. I love you like a sister, and I'm so thankful that you pushed Josie back to me, so don't ever be sorry. You didn't ask for this.
Liam turns toward me so he can look at me.
I'm a man blessed with a lot. I have the love of my life, my son, my career, and my family. That includes you, Jimmy, Caitlin, the girls, Quinn, and Harrison. Without these things in my life, I'm nothing. Each one of you gives me something to look forward to. You're the one who not only makes my wife smile, but you gave one of my best friends a new life. Don't be sorry, Jenna. Be determined to bring that fucker's ass down for doing this to our family.
I'm speechless. I've never had friends like Josie and Liam before. They're rare gems, and when you mix in Caitlin and Harrison, Liam's right. We're a family. I lean into Liam and close my eyes. His hand returns to my shoulder, holding me there, giving me the comfort that I need. I hope that I can offer him a little bit of support. I know he's hurting. We both are, each in our own way. Hello? Sorry to call so early, but the shop is closed today. I sit up and look at the clock. It's 4 a.m. What's wrong, Josie? Oh, God, Jenna. Mason, he was in an accident, and he... I swallow hard and hold my breath. I know she's going to deliver the worst news ever. I'm supposed to keep the girls overnight so he can surprise Caitlin with dinner. He said that during football season he loses his romantic side and needs as much help as possible. Josie? He's gone, Jenna. Oh, God, he's gone. Silent tears fall as I listen to Josie cry on the phone. I don't know what to do. I've never been faced with death. Josie, Caitlin, and Mason are my only friends. I'm on my way. Where do I go? I can't. Where are you? Caitlin's, she says through a shuddering breath. I'm on my way. I hang up and immediately cross my arms over my chest and hold myself. He can't be gone. He's the only guy I can trust. He knows everything about me, and I didn't even have to tell him. He just knew. He said he'd protect me, and now he's gone. I move around my apartment as if on autopilot. I'm going to put on a brave face for everyone. I'll be their rock,
as they have been for me. I pick up the picture of all of us that we took last year. Noah and the twins were so small. I can't even think about what it'll be like for Caitlin now.
Here.